Setting aside for a moment the motivation behind why that happened, you can't dispute the impact that it has had on Asian Americans.
Asian Americans under attack. It's Friday, March 19th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, the United States and China go face-to-face. Pakistan hits a virus third wave. Less green eggs and ham. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The man charged with killing eight people in a series of shootings at massage parlors in the southeastern U.S. state of Georgia is being arraigned in court. While six victims in the Tuesday shooting spree were of Asian descent, authorities say it is too early to classify the killings as a hate crime. Authorities say the white male suspect denies race was a factor in the killings. VOA's Mike O'Sullivan has an update on the shootings and reaction among Asian immigrants.
Five people were shot at the first of three businesses, all Asian massage parlors near Atlanta. One man survived there and was taken to the hospital. 50 kilometers away, as police investigated a second shooting that left three people dead, they received a report of a murder at a spa across the street. Police later arrested 21-year-old Robert Aaron Long after a highway chase.
He made indicators that he has some issues, potentially sexual addiction, and may have frequented some of these places.
With six Asian women dead, the crime shocked Asian Americans around the country and prompted calls of concern.
A crime against any community is a crime against us all.
Two of the spas were owned by Korean Americans, says the chief correspondent for a local Korean language news outlet.
Oh, they are shocked. This morning, young professionals in Korean-American community have organized a rapid response team in order to take care of victims and prevent further violence.
The suspect's claim that he was motivated by a sex addiction must be weighed against other evidence, says a former U.S. attorney for the Northern Georgia District.
And setting aside for a moment the motivation behind why that happened, you can't dispute the impact that it has had on Asian Americans.
Vice President Kamala Harris expressed support for the Asian American community, but added the shootings are part of a larger issue,
which is the issue of violence in our country and what we must do to never tolerate it and to always speak out against it.
As one more community copes with another mass shooting, Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Japan lifting Tokyo COVID-19 state of emergency effective Monday. Helicopter crash kills nine Afghan troops in Central Province. Asian Americans grieve, organize in wake of Atlanta attacks. India's rising infections spark concerns of second pandemic wave. U.S. and South Korea talks focus on North Korea security threats. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you find us at Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We continue with VOA Asia. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi are holding talks in Anchorage, Alaska, in what will be the first bilateral meeting between Chinese and American officials since June. Jason Strother tells us more from Seoul.
Speaking in Seoul, where he and U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin met with their South Korean counterparts, Foreign Affairs Minister Chung Yi-young and Minister of National Defense Seo-uk, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Washington is working closely with its allies in the region on containing the North Korean threat.
We are committed to the denuclearization of North Korea, reducing the broader threat the DPRK poses to the United States and our allies, and improving the lives of all Koreans, including the people of North Korea, who continue to suffer widespread and systematic abuses.
Defense Minister Seol says North Korea poses threats to all three countries. He says, we agree that trilateral security cooperation between South Korea, the United States, and Japan is important for safety and peace in Northeast Asia. The Biden administration says it has tried to restart talks with North Korea and reached out through its mission to the United Nations in New York and other back channels, but received no response. On Thursday, Pyongyang acknowledged those attempts. But Choi Soon-hee, the North's vice foreign minister, said in a statement carried by state media that the regime will not engage in dialogue until the U.S. drops what she calls its hostile policy toward her country. Heejin Koo, a research fellow at the Korean Peninsula Future Forum in Seoul, says Pyongyang might be signaling that it wants higher-level contact, like it received during the Trump administration.
What it wants is to have a status quo, also an easing of the current sanctions, which has actually pinched North Korea's economy, especially amid the pandemic.
Despite this impasse, Koo says Blinken and Austin's trip to the region is a turning point for the United States and its allies. She says the secretary's visits could improve ties between Seoul and Tokyo, but also mend fences between Washington and South Korean President Moon Jae-in. Koo says during former President Donald Trump's efforts to engage North Korea, Seoul was often not included.
During the Trump administration, South Korea and the Moon Jae-in administration were sometimes left out of it. So it is a reconnection, let's say, between the U.S. administration and the Moon administration.
The South Korean capital was the Biden administration's second stop on its first cabinet-level overseas trip. The U.S. officials held talks in Japan earlier this week. From South Korea, Pentagon Chief Austin will head to India for security talks on Friday. And Secretary Blinken will fly to Alaska, where he will meet with two of China's top foreign policy officials. He says Beijing can play a role in persuading Pyongyang to end its nuclear weapons program. Jason Strother for VOA News, Seoul.
Happening now in Asia, state TV in Myanmar reports a prominent businessman is saying he has given ousted leader Aung San Suu Kyi about $550,000 in illegal payments between 2018 and 2020. The bribery claims are the latest charges against the detained de facto leader. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Pakistan says it is now facing a third wave of the novel coronavirus. Officials have especially expressed concern over the spread of the so-called UK variant of the virus. VOA's Aisha Tanzim has more from the Pakistani capital, Islamabad.
Pakistani health officials say the so-called UK variant of the coronavirus is adding to a third wave of COVID-19 cases, but many here continue to ignore measures to prevent the spread of the virus. Shops, bazaars, and restaurants are often full of people without masks. Health experts say the COVID variant first reported in Britain is more infectious and more deadly. Still, critics say the government has also been lax in enforcing restrictions due to a lack of resources.
While masks are recommended by the government, there are no consequences for not wearing one or for ignoring social distancing guidelines in public. Even indoors, in shops, grocery stores, government buildings, hospitals, people frequently violate the guidelines that could stop the spread of the virus.
Some are calling it pandemic fatigue. Even people previously following strict restrictions have become complacent. Many have resumed life as usual. Meanwhile, Pakistan has reported at least 13,500 COVID-19 deaths and 600,000 confirmed cases so far. In a 24-hour period this week, Pakistan reported more than 2,000 new cases. With a third wave of the coronavirus underway, Pakistan's vaccination drive is still moving ahead slowly. Some of it is due to the public fear of vaccine side effects or conspiracy theories about the vaccine itself. The government also faces criticism for lack of planning and not doing more to make the vaccine widely available.
The government's target seems to be to vaccinate 12 to 13 million people in 2021. For now, only frontline health workers or people over 60 are getting this. But if you only plan to give it to 12 million people, that is not an adequate percentage of your 220 million population.
Meanwhile, the surge of COVID cases has forced the government to reverse its decision to ease coronavirus restrictions.
We were about to lift some restrictions from the 15th of March, but given the new COVID-19 numbers, we have changed our mind. We will continue restricting things like indoor dining or indoor marriages. In addition, schools and cities with higher COVID-19 numbers are told to take their spring breaks now.
Health experts say until the government manages to increase the number of vaccinated people, the problem will keep recurring. Aisha Tanzeem, VOA News, Islamabad.
At some point, you've likely come across a Dr. Seuss book, as more than 650 million copies have been sold around the world since author Theodore Seuss Geisel published his first title in the 1930s. The prolific author of books, like The Cat in the Hat, is credited with helping millions of children learn to read. But this month, Dr. Seuss Enterprises announced it will no longer publish six of the celebrated author's books due to racist and insensitive imagery. VOA's Dora McQuarr has our report.
The offending images in the six canceled Dr. Seuss books contain stereotypes of black people, Asians, and Arabs. Dr. Seuss author Theodore Seuss Geisel died in 1991. But this year on his birthday, the company founded by Dr. Seuss's family decided to stop printing six of his books because they portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong.
He often sees national or ethnic or racial difference as exotic and as fun or as funny. In highlighting the exotic of somebody or the otherness of somebody as a point of amusement, you know, you are telling people that national or ethnic or racial difference can be the punchline. And that is painful if you are a member of the group who is the punchline.
Allegations of racial stereotypes in the author's work aren't new. The Dr. Seuss Museum in the author's hometown of Springfield, Massachusetts, removed a mural after complaints. The mural depicted a Chinese character with slanted eyes, chopsticks, and a pointed hat. There's evidence the author regretted his early depictions of non-white people. Some of his later books include lessons on tolerance and inclusion.
People often think of racism as either or. You're on team racism or you're not, and that's not actually how it works. You know, Seuss is on both teams.
Philip Nell heads up the Children's Literature Program at Kansas State University. He views the removal of the six Seuss books as an appropriate product recall.
Also, as a child, I think you're absorbing things that you don't know you're absorbing. You are learning things without your consent. These ideas, these images just start to populate your brain without you signing on to the idea that it's okay to mock people for being different or kind of highlight their exoticism to be amusing.
It's the end of the story for these six titles, but dozens of beloved Dr. Seuss books remain in print for future generations of children to discover. Dora McQuarr, VOA News, Washington.
Now that you've heard the story, see it at voanews.com. But be aware the video will include images that many find offensive, which is why some of the books are being discontinued. That's all the time we have for our program today. We'll continue again at the same time on Monday. Join us again for another edition of VOA Asia. In the meantime, join us online. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Any time of the day or night you'd like to visit, just look us up under our name, VOA Asia. We also thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a super day ahead. Be safe. be well.